Praise God that He is our living hope. Amen. You know, in John chapter 2, Jesus was before His accusers. And He tells them that in 3 days, I'll destroy the temple and the temple will be rebuilt. And He wasn't talking about the physical temple that the Jewish leaders and really every follower of Jesus then, they thought He was talking about the temple, the physical place of worship in Jerusalem. But He had greater intentions. He was talking about His body that was prophesying His death. And so we know on Good Friday that Christ was crucified. He was buried. And then on Sunday morning, early Easter, He rose again. So praise God for that. Amen. This morning we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 33. So if you get in your Bibles, we'll be there shortly. So 2,000 plus years ago, the world changed forever because we received the greatest news of all. Jesus came bursting forth from the grave that He was placed in on Good Friday. And now, friends, Christ has indeed risen to new life. Not just a new life all to Himself, but a new life that He has given us as His followers. We believe that Christ is our Lord and Savior. On Good Friday, Christ bore the weight of humanity's sin. He suffered a brutal death, a death on a rugged cross. A painful death full of agony, of nails piercing His hands and His feet, thorns piercing His head in the shape of a mangled crown. His punishment brought us peace between God and mankind. It satisfied God's wrath on humanity because of their sin. We are made righteous in the eyes of God and forgiven of all the guilt and shame and wrongdoing that we have done, we will do, or are doing right now. Friends, we are made whole again because of Jesus' shed blood. And He bought our redemption 2,000 plus years ago. A price far beyond anything we could imagine, or an amount that we could never pay. One that only Christ could pay and satisfy, because He was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and He was blameless without sin. He was the propitiation of our sins, a perfect sacrifice that put an end to the law of sin and death. No man on earth could ever pay off humanity's debt except God's Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't just a man, He was also indeed God. Because of His death, we are adopted sons and daughters of the Most High King, Christ Jesus. We are also co-heirs with Christ, who will one day be in glory forever. So friends, in this life isn't final. As Christians, we know that we'll rise again with Him. In His death, we are given new life. We're given eternal hope, a life full of hope and joy that surpasses all understanding. We're given a purpose to love God with all of our hearts, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Friends, these are just some of the things that Christ did for us and gave us through His death, burial, and resurrection. But what if Jesus never rose from the grave? What if His body was stolen, as some of the Jewish authorities claimed surrounding His death, and they spread rumors about? What if He hadn't died? What if Jesus hadn't come? Today, we'll seek to answer these questions through studying the Apostle Paul's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 33. So if you're there, let's turn there. If you're not, I'll give you a chance to turn there. First Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verses 12-33. The reading of the word. But if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then Christ has not been raised from the dead either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, verse 16. You're still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ are also lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied among all men. But Christ is indeed risen, friends. Pay attention to this. But Christ is indeed risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep. For since death came through one man, Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through one man, Christ. For all in Adam all die, so is Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. And the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he's destroyed all dominion and authority and power. For he must reign until he pats all enemies under his feet. Puts, not pats. The last enemy to be destroyed in his death. For he has put everything under his feet. And now when it says everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he had done this, the Son himself will be subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now if there's no resurrection, what will those who are baptized do for the dead? What will baptism do for the dead? The dead are not raised at all. Why are people baptized then? As for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers and sisters. This is surely as I glory over you in Christ our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, I gain nothing. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled, friends. Bad company corrupts good character. The reading of the word. So these are some intense words of the Apostle Paul. And so just give you some context of what was going on here in Corinthians. The Corinthian church became kind of soft-hearted when it came to the study of Scripture and doctrine. They let a lot of things go in the church that shouldn't have been. There was a lot of sexual promiscuity. There's a lot of error in teaching. And they believed that Jesus was the Savior, but they didn't believe that he died. I'm like, that's kind of redundant. How do you believe that he's the Savior, but he didn't die and rise again? And so the Apostle Paul writes this letter, and he says, what if he counteracts their argument and says, your logical thinking is not logical at all. It's actually flawed. And so that's why the Apostle Paul writes this letter, to correct their teaching. And so in some instances today, we're in a world where we know that Christianity is not the only religion, but Christianity is the only religion. It is the true way to God, as we know in John 14:6. But we know that people claim that their truth is the right way, but we know that Jesus is the right way because he rose from the grave. And so that's the important part of this morning. What separates us from every religion is that Christ raised from the dead. No other religion teaches that except for Christianity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 to 33, the Apostle Paul offers a logical conclusion surrounding Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And if Christ rose from the dead, then his followers will also rise as well when they die. However, though this is a logical conclusion of the teachings of Christ himself and the teachings of the apostles, the Corinthian church had gone the wayside of accurate teaching surrounding Jesus' resurrection. They had doubts about, did Christ really die physically? And did he also physically rise from the grave? That's my question this morning. What if he hadn't? Well, Paul in these several verses seeks to address this question. What if Jesus didn't rise from the grave? So in verses 12 through 33, Paul addresses five realities surrounding the doubts of the Corinthian church. These realities are: preaching is useless without the resurrection. The second one is, we would be false witnesses of God if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. The third, we'd still be in our sins if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. And fourth, we'd die apart from God, forever separated from him, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. The first reality, friends, is that our preaching would be in vain. This comes in verse 14 of chapter 15. Paul says in verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. Now these are some strong words from the Apostle Paul. Our preaching would be useless. I don't know if you ever thought about the meaning of the word useless, but Merriam-Webster defines useless as having or not being of any use or use of service to anything or aid. That's not a cute word. If the resurrection didn't happen, then the apostles' teaching and their following of Christ's teaching for 3 years they spent under him would be in vain, all for nothing. I would not need to preach this morning. In fact, I could leave out the door and never come back. And none of us would ever need to gather here this morning if Christ didn't rise from the grave. We have nothing to celebrate this morning, no hope to cling to, no purpose to live for. Life would be meaningless. As the author of Ecclesiastes writes in Ecclesiastes 1, everything is meaningless without God. If Jesus didn't rise on Easter morning, our life would be meaningless. There'd be no point of giving to the Great Commission Fund, the CMA, no need for seminaries to prepare ministers or church leaders. There'd be no need for nonprofits like Crew or Samaritan's Purse to go to Ukraine. There'd be no need for any of that if Christ didn't rise from the grave. Really, there'd be no point in anything if he didn't rise. Friends, this is a sad reality for a lot of our world today. They claim that Jesus was just merely a prophet or a man who lived a radical life, who taught a lot of good things, and left a significant mark in history, yet they claim he didn't rise from the grave. Muslims from the Islamic faith claim that Jesus is indeed a prophet, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. It's included in their scripture. Yet they don't believe in the resurrection. Or there are critics that state his death was a myth, or that he appeared to have died or swooned, and then the disciples stole his body on Easter morning. If any of this were true, there'd be no need for church. Yet here we are. Why? Because Jesus didn't die, friends. He was buried and rose again from the grave. And because of this, we have every right to proclaim his good news to the lost, so that they can have the hope of salvation like we have in Christ. We should cherish this, friends, because Christ's death is very real, and so is his resurrection. So jumping down to verse 15, Paul says in verse 15 that more than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, in fact, the dead are not raised. And so not only are we, our preaching is useless, our witness as believers would be in vain, we'd be liars, so we wouldn't be accurate about our teaching. That if we proclaim Christ to rise from the dead and he didn't rise, then we'd be liars. What Paul is saying here is that if we proclaim to live the gospel teachings of Christ and did everything he told us to do and preached that he rose, but he didn't, we'd be liars. We'd be hypocrites even. I don't know about you, but being labeled a hypocrite is not a good word. We'd be preaching a false gospel like any other religion. We'd be trying to vie for people's attention by trying to make promises of false hopes. We'd be living out legalistic rules and be sharing multiple ways to heaven. Thankfully, friends, we can take heart that Jesus did indeed rise from the grave, and our message is valid. The Bible is the most mass-produced book ever. God's church has remained steadfast for over 2,000 years, and history has remained steadfast about validating his death, which is backed up with eyewitness accounts of the apostles and those closely associated with Christ. Josephus, the great Jewish historian, even recounts Jesus' ministry and death. And we also can proclaim the goodness of Christ because he has given us authority to do so, which is made possible only because he rose from the dead. Jesus conquered the grave once and for all and gives us eternal life. Eternal life for all that who believe in him. What a gift. Friends, what a gift that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. No words can express the thankfulness we owe Christ today. Our message is valid because Christ's death and resurrection is valid. A few years ago, I had an opportunity to go to Israel on a missions trip. And in Israel, they like to show you kind of the traditional place of where things happen. And they like to show you kind of the more contemporary or what it might look like. And so, friends, Jesus' tomb is in Israel. I've seen it. I've seen the church where they claim it to be. I've seen Garden of Gethsemane. I've seen these places with my own eyes. And I tell you what, it's a very real place. I know it's easy to read this book that's really old and to think that, oh, maybe this is just all folklore. But friends, I had a longing in my heart that this was real. And I've been a believer for most of my life, but not until then was I really sure about Christ. And then when I saw and walked into that church and then another place that they think is the Garden Tomb, it just seemed real. Not only that do we have the location, but we also have scripture, and we also have testimony of the apostles. Yeah. The great Bible scholar N.T. Wright says, the logic of what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here is quite simple. Granted the close link between scripture and sin and death, if God had come to overcome death in the resurrection of Jesus, then the power of sin is broken. But if he hasn't broken sin through his death, then sin isn't broken. Praise God that sin and the strongholds of our life are broken through Jesus. Can you imagine a world without Jesus' love in our lives? Life would be pretty miserable. Perhaps we've even lived there in our lives too without God. We wouldn't be able to make it through each moment of our lives. I know we live in a pretty dark world right now. You can just go outside of Butler and see that. A life that's filled with a lot of issues caused by our sin-corrupt world. Without Jesus dying, friends, for our sin and rising again on the third day that we call Easter Sunday, just as he promised, we'd be dead in our tracks, dead forever in sin, separated from the Holy God. This is Paul's fourth and final reality in our text this morning, that if Christ didn't die and rise again, we'd be dead in our sins. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans in chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Friends, the final reality of Christ didn't die for our, Our sins would be the wages of sin is death. There'd still be a debt to be paid, and we'd die separated eternally from God. We'd have no promised hope of eternal life, no free gift of grace to forgive our sins when we stumble and fall in sin, because, friends, there are going to be days where we're following the Lord and we're following Him well, but something will be tempted. The enemy will tempt us with something, or our thought will come in our heads, and we'll sin against God. But, friends, in grace, we can get back up from that. But without Christ's resurrection from the grave, there would be no grace. Can you imagine a world with no grace? It'd be awful. We'd be forever separated from God's great love. I don't know about you, but God loved us so much that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. We see that in John's gospel. But there'd be no love if Christ didn't rise from the grave. Thankfully, the biblical narrative, or even that verse, doesn't just stop with the wages of sin. God had a plan. The plan to send His Son Jesus into the world as a perfect sacrifice to die on our behalf, to pay a debt we couldn't pay, so that we could be free from the bondage of sin and alive to God through Christ forever. Aren't you glad that this is our reality? That we have the blessed hope of Christ our Savior. That there is meaning for our lives, a purpose and a hope. Praise God that Christ rose from the grave and gives us a new life. A.W. Tozer, the great Alliance pastor, once said, "If man had his way, the plan of redemption would be an endless and bloody conflict. In reality, salvation was bought not by Jesus' fist, but by His nail-pierced hands. Not by muscle, but by love. Not by vengeance, but by forgiveness of sins. Not by force, but through sacrifice. Jesus Christ our Lord surrendered in order that He might win. He destroyed His enemies by dying for them and conquered death by allowing death to conquer Him." Praise God, friends, that God's plan of redemption was Jesus and not us, because left to our own devices, we'd epically fail every time. We'd fall flat on our faces every time we tried in our own effort. Praise God that we have Christ. Praise God for the life that we now have in Him, and we can live in Him. Because Jesus is everything and better than anything we can ask for. So on this Easter morning of April 17th, 2022, are you trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you skeptical of Him? Did you once follow Him, perhaps, but are struggling to love Him back or fully trust Him and deal with your sin? Friends, He died for you this morning and rose again. And He wants you to come home to Him this morning. He wants you to give your life over to Him, because giving your life to Christ is the greatest blessing anyone can receive and far better than anything we can imagine, because we are made new with Christ. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, that anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. So friends, in Christ, we become new people. Though the Christian life is no easy road to go down, Jesus will be there every step. Through every trial, every time we stumble in sin, every time we feel like we're not good enough or feel unworthy, He'll be there with His loving arms. He'll be there if we let Him into our lives today and entrust Him with our souls. So friends, don't miss out on eternity because of unbelief. I'm begging you, you don't want to spend eternity in hell. We've seen the realities here on earth. Realities of hell on earth. I can't begin to imagine what hell would be like separated from God forever. Friends, Jesus loves you and wants a relationship with you as your Savior and friend. He died for all of us, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. He died for us. We just have to meet Him halfway by accepting Him as our Savior. And we don't have to change right away. I know there's a lot of notions, friends, in church, and I apologize on behalf of bad teachings of pastors. They say you got to come change, you got to wear a certain kind of clothes in church. But you don't have to change right away. Christ changes you when you accept Him as your Savior. It's not about conforming to norms of, I guess, church society. It's about letting Christ, through the church, speak His truth in your heart. And so I apologize that there's ever been a wounding from ministers or Christians that have led you astray. I know I have personal family that have been hurt by that. And so this Easter morning, I want to let you know that you don't have to change right away. Christ will change you and work in your life as you accept Him. So if there's anyone among us today, here or online, perhaps, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I urge you this Easter morning to consider that, because that'll be the greatest gift that you ever experience. Because you'll be forever grateful to the life and love that He has for you. For us as Christians, today is the celebration of Easter. As we close this morning, the worship team comes forward. I want to spend a few moments in prayer. Let us give thanks to God for what He did for us today and for the days that He has for us ahead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the fact that Christ did rise from the grave, Lord. I love that, the old hymn that up from the grave he rose, Lord. We most of us know it, Lord, that you did triumph over your foes. And so, Lord, we're thankful that though you conquered sin and death, Lord, we know the effects of sin are still here because of our world. But one day, Lord, you're coming again to conquer the world. And so, Lord, we have a future hope that our salvation rests in you, that our eternity rests in you, Lord, that when we die, that there won't be just an obliteration of nothingness. That there's a future hope that we will have new bodies. We'll have forever love and joy in your presence. And so, God, I just pray that there's people in our, maybe in our midst today or midst and online, or maybe we have friends and family we could talk to this Easter and share about your great news, Lord, that you came as a little baby 2,000 plus years ago to one day die as our Savior. And Lord, I just think we're forever grateful for that. So this morning as we close and worship, Lord, let us celebrate that you are our living hope, that in you, Lord, in Christ alone, our hope is secure, and that secures eternal life. And so, Lord, I just pray that we'd remember that, Lord, throughout our days when we get frustrated at one another or at our spouses or our family or just little things that maybe cause us to stumble away from you. I pray that we remember that we are beyond loved far than we can imagine. So, Lord, I pray that there's people here today that need to talk to you. I pray that they could come to the altar and talk to you or talk to me or any other church leader that could pray with them. So, Lord, I just pray that that you're blessed by the words that we celebrate this morning. And, Lord, we celebrate your death every day. Easter is every day, friends. And I pray, Lord, that we'd remember that as we celebrate and close this morning. It's in your holy name I pray, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let us stand and worship.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin. Cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. The buried body began to that sealed the
The one who set me free, hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free, hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
How good you are,
my living hope.
Friends, let us remain standing for our benediction. Today's benediction comes in Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk alone the ways in which you lived, but now you must also rid of yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've been taken off of your old self and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of God. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, because Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and bear with each other and forgive one another as Christ forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of God rule in your life and your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with psalms and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with gratitude in your heart. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of God and in the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. God, we're thankful that we are new creations, Lord, that we're no longer bound to sin. We're no longer bound to the lies of the enemy. Lord, there may be things that we wrestle with today, Lord, maybe thoughts in our head about we're not good enough, we're not worthy of you, Lord. But the fact is that you came to die so we could be worthy of you. And so, Lord, I pray that today we'd experience your love beyond all measure, Lord. And I pray that your love would pour out on our hearts today, and not just our hearts here in this church and in Butler. But, Lord, I pray that corporately as a church in the world that people would feel your love today. Lord, that Easter 2022 would be different, and be different because you are King and you still reign, Lord. It's in your holy name I pray, God. I pray that we're blessed in your name this morning. Amen. You're dismissed.